All right, so you came here from Italy with Summer, my cousin.
Yep.
You were originally from Albania.
That's correct.
Can you tell me how your life was in Albania, like growing up?
So it's interesting because it's interesting to explain it to an American guy, you
Mm.
know. Albania, when I was growing up, so Albania is a fairly new democracy. Albania was a communist country until like 1997, meaning like we had no external contact with the world. Like my parents lived through communism.
That's so crazy. So, how old were you when you first like experienced the world and the government like that? Do you remember it being?
So I was still a kid. Like I was probably like 3 or 4 years old when there was still
Okay.
communism in Albania. So it got freed in 1997. I was born
Right.
in 1994. So it I didn't see it, but you feel the aftermath, right?
Right.
So growing up in Albania, I lived with my parents at this village. Like imagine an actual village. So there was like cows and cats and
Damn, that's crazy. So it was like 50 people. Damn.
So that's where I'm originally from. And
So like, what did you do for fun when you were kids? Like, I remember when I was a kid, I was playing like Bakugan and like Yu-Gi-Oh. Did you guys have that?
well, depends on the age, right? We definitely had Yu-Gi-Oh,
Yeah.
the cards. I don't know if you play with something else, but we had the cards. We watched the anime. But growing up there, it was just maybe drink some milk from the cow tit,
Yeah.
you know. But yeah, growing up in Albania was like.
Wait, are we good? Okay, go ahead, my bad. Go ahead, my bad.
No worries. So in the beginning, it was from my earliest memories are like, you know, I'm in the village. I have a foggy memory of my childhood, but you know, I walk around there, play with the animals and stuff, and then I moved to Italy when I was a kid.
How old were you when you moved to Italy?
It's a good question. I think I was like 13 or 14, but I only stayed there a year.
Okay, so you were in Albania for 13 years,
Yep.
and then you went to Italy for a year.
For a year.
Okay.
But it was huge transitions, man, because I was like,
How was
okay.
it different from each other, from like Albania and then going to Italy? Like, what was the difference?
Well, I don't know how correct this is, but Albania to me felt like a third world country, you know? Like
Oh.
still developing after communism. Now
Yeah.
it's really good. It's booming with tourism. It's still not part of the European Union, but it's like that Eastern European countries, you know? Like Albania is like on the same GDP as like Montenegro, Kosovo, maybe Bulgaria and stuff like that. So Albania was not like the most developed country. So you can feel the difference when you come to Italy. Because I feel like poorer countries, people have like stronger friendships, you know, and people are a bit more
Yeah, because you
passionate.
have to like rely on each other and like shit's real. Like, you know,
Yeah.
you're trying to you really gotta, you know, suck out of that cow's, you know, whatever it is, or like you gotta get it from a chicken, or
Yeah.
like you have to like rely on the hard work of others to survive, which is something that I've never experienced. So like it's crazy for me to hear that you actually went through that like as a child, but still like that was probably like way different
Yeah.
than everything now. Like that's so fucking crazy.
And it's crazy to me, man, too. Like I have brunch now. You know? I didn't know what brunch was until,
Yeah.
you know, like I'm over
Brunch.
brunch talking about some.
Breakfast lunch is the shit, dude. Dude, I actually just had two waffles and they were great. I don't
Yeah.
know if you saw me eating them, but yeah, they were blueberry and they were
Summer got me
brunch.
on brunch. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
she seems like a brunch gal.
Definitely.
Okay, so what aspects of Italy and Albania did you find to be most interesting or something that kind of struck you as unique?
Right. Well, I would say I thought of Italy as a developed country, right? And compared to Albania, it is.
Yeah.
But compared to like the UK or maybe you guys, it's
Yeah.
not. Like Italy is a country based on tourism, and I found the people in Italy to be a bit more Machiavellian, right? Like a little bit more sophisticated with their words
Yeah.
and maybe insinuate things. And people in Albania are just like, I like you, I don't, right?
I
So.
kind of like the forwardness, like I like you, or you know, I don't like you, or maybe I do like you, but I feel like once you have those kind of like social like parameters of how you're gonna address someone, like in Italy, I'm sure it's way more like like if you're gonna date someone, it's you probably have to court them first, and maybe in like Albania, it's
yeah, bro. Like, bro, when I was a kid, you had to chase a girl for 6 months just to get a kiss, because you know they're not as open minded in the States. Like, and slut shaming, I think it's harder in poorer countries, because that whole female empowerment, you go girl, doesn't exist. So girls are like, you know, they're not as open minded as I would say like in the States, or same with Italy, but Italy is a bit better.
Yeah. So in China, I heard that if you date a woman and then you break up with her when she's like 25. And you wasted all of her 20s, and then you just dump her. You're supposed to like pay her,
really,
like $100,000.
Maybe that's what DiCaprio does, right? Yeah, he gets them up to 25, and then he's like,
"Yeah,
that's insane, though."
Yeah. So, how long did you live in Italy for?
Okay, so Italy, I would say I lived there for like 6 years, but it never felt like home, man, because I was always traveling. Like I went to the UK. I got a scholarship there.
Yeah.
And then I went to, I was traveling to Switzerland for a while. Like I stayed there for like a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then I was working in travel.
What did you go to school for?
Economics.
Oh, right, right. Okay. You told me that last night. Right.
I got like a scholarship in economics. Mm-hmm. And then, which for me was like a way to get out of the country. You know, because if you know Italian, apparently in Albania, mm-hmm. and like you have enough good grades and you get like an Italian certification, you can just, you know.
So you can just go.
You can just go there.
Damn, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really never traveled. I used to live in Hawaii. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
It was cool. But I've always wanted to travel somewhere. I want to go to, I mean, there's certain places I wouldn't go. Like I wouldn't go north to, you know, like I would go to South Korea, but I wouldn't go to North Korea.
Really? How come?
I know. What an interesting thought. Yeah, I wouldn't go. Yeah, wouldn't go to North Korea. But I don't know. So I heard this story from what's her name? Yeonmi Park.
Okay, I don't know who that lady is.
Right. So she is like a spokesperson for the UN.
Okay.
I don't know if she works for the UN or if she just goes to like, you know, their things and like talks. But she told this crazy story about how she escaped North Korea. Like, you can't really do that anymore, but she did it through being sex trafficked. Like, it kind of worked in her favor to be sex trafficked because she got to go to China, and then the guy was like, okay, I'm going to give you, like, all your freedoms.
She did that intentionally?
Yeah, like her and her mom, like, went into... I don't think they knew...
Oh,
I don't want to fuck the story up, but I don't think they knew that's what they were going into. But I think that's like where they ended up. So that kind of got her out of North Korea. But yeah, like these stories of like living in like communist countries is just crazy to think that for 5 years you actually lived in one. Like that's just mind blowing.
It is also crazy because you know like you'll watch like kids in Italy do these protests about like we want communism, or you'll watch like the most open-minded people in the States, or and you know I think the thing about communism is that every generation's like we can do it better, right? like those people didn't do communism right, and we'll do it better. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if
I don't think it ever works. Like, there's not one country that I can think of where it's like that's communist country. I want to go there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people that like come from like Cuba or wherever they come from, and they're like, we're not fucking going back there. You guys are crazy.
Usually, communist dictatorships take place when there's been a war or the country has been like messed up, right? And then they need like this strong figure to like unite the country. That's how usually those things gather up.
Yeah. So, what's some other places that you've gone to other than Albania and Italy and here? Do you like it here, by the way?
I love it here, man. Look, I'm here doing a fucking podcast.
Yeah, isn't that fucking awesome?
Yeah.
I'm drinking whiskey. You can have some too, but it's okay.
Thank you.
Do you not drink?
I'm doing this challenge, right? So we were talking about this the other day. Like, I'm doing like 100 days of daily training. I'm trying to go for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Cold showers, meditations, journaling.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that. That's right. Yeah. No, that's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And I fully support that. Sorry for asking you.
No worries. No worries at all. I'll drink. I'm just like, I know that if I start drinking, then I'll drink again tomorrow.
Yeah.
We were talking about like how some people get obsessed with things. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm definitely one of those people.
Really? The only thing I've been addicted to is nicotine.
Yeah, and which you're doing a great job now, right?
Like, yeah, I wanted to smoke so fucking bad today.
Yeah.
I wanted to smoke so bad. And then I told myself, don't be a pussy. Don't be a bitch. Just do it. Just go the whole day without it. And then you can go the next day. And then you go the next day. I think with nicotine, it's just so difficult to get through those first few days because you have such bad anxiety. And it just feels like the only thing that you can do to make yourself feel better is to smoke. Mm. That's it. It doesn't matter how much you eat. It doesn't matter, you know, if you want to like try to smoke weed. Well, weed kind of helps a little bit.
See, that's the thing. And I'll get back to your travel question, but just to touch on this, like I feel like one of the most humbling things that I found out about myself is that you're also just another animal and your environmental triggers and cues are so fucking important.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you're used to smoking nicotine, like you'll read books on, like, addiction and stuff, and it's, like, there's so many triggers in your environment, man. Like, I don't know, maybe you sit on the couch and you're laying down and then you're like, oh, like you don't even understand.
Yeah, just being in that, your subconscious.
In that setting, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I see someone smoke, I'm like, dude, I'm like, this is it. I'm about to go to freaking Meijer gas station. I'm about to go to, what's another gas station? Thornton's. Yeah, UDF.
Yeah. But yeah, so to get back on your travel question, so far I've been to Italy, Kosovo, Germany, Switzerland, Croatia, Austria, I've been to Hungary. I've been to Greece. I was in Aruba recently on that family vacation.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram. That's fucking awesome.
The hardest I've trained has been in Aruba.
Yeah.
Like training in the heat, man. Like running in the heat. Oh. And probably a bunch of other places that have not been in my mind. But look, being that guy who like, you know, had that village life.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that has made my life so interesting lately is, like, I've seen so many cultures, man. And I've seen it from, like I've had the weirdest growth. Like, I've taught myself how to be diplomatic, going from, like, the raw guy. And, like, now I can have, like, conversations where, you know, like, of course, this is a fairly informal conversation. But
yeah,
I had to teach myself how to make acquaintances, right? Because for me, acquaintance was not even a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these different cultures taught me a lot of things, man. Like, Italy taught me tact, right? Yeah. The UK told me that people are very sensitive. You gotta watch out.
Mm-hmm.
The US,
especially here, dude, if you say anything that's like I don't know if I want to go there. Like not politically right. They will just, it's mostly online, but even in person, and I feel like it's more so, I don't want to sound sexist, but I feel like a lot of women are like, if you say anything that is sexist or that is against like someone that's like bisexual or like homosexual or something like that, then they'll just call you out right there. But I think it's important to have like different opinions. And I'm sure, like, going and seeing so many cultures, you're like, I've fucking seen it all. I can, you know, say whatever I want about all this shit.
Yeah, and about, like, I think you guys underestimate how popular the whole fucking discussions about gender or any kind of, like, trending topic of some kind of social movement in the States is in the whole world.
Like, oh, really?
People talk about that shit in Italy, about in Albania.
Do they make fun of us for talking about it? Or
I think they get emotionally invested in the debate.
Oh, they get invested too.
Yeah, way less than you guys.
That's so interesting. Isn't that interesting? Holy shit.
Because you guys have a dominance on social media, right? Like the best content makers. Italian podcasts? Do you know? Who's the prime minister of Italy? Everybody knows Joe Biden, right? Yeah. Everybody makes fun of Trump and Biden, but nobody knows about these other countries because they're not as relevant, you know?
Yeah.
So the same goes for like the media and the outrage and everything that you guys experience. But from my perspective, like
there is like a fear that our country, I mean, it's a general consensus. I don't know if it's because things have been going good for so long for us, but most people that I talk to are like, we need to go buy gallons of water. We need to like prepare. My aunt made me like a survival pack. for no reason. She
That's
just
so
like,
cute,
bought me.
Though.
No, it was nice. She's a nice lady. She's probably one of the best people I know. But she made me like a little survival pack. She bought me a fucking knife with a gutter on it. Do you know what a gutter is?
No.
It's like a fish hook looking thing on the back of a knife, so that when you stick someone and you pull it back out, it like sucks all their insides out.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, dude. I was like, why did you get this for me? She's like, you might need it one day. I was like, I guess so.
Also, how cool for her to know that exists, right?
It had a gutter on it. It looks like a fish hook. And then when you stick it in, it like, you know, hooks it in. It's the fucking craziest thing I've ever got from someone.
but I have a question for you guys, because I'm extremely curious about this, because I've thought about living in the States, and I've had my pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
So just to explain, like, my childlike vision of the States is I come here, I meet a bunch of dudes that are like into self-improvement, right? I podcast, we talk about shit, we lay everything out, right? And I'm hanging out with these dudes and we're conquering the world, and that's my mindset, right? And then I hear like people be like, well, you can't really say that, or, you know, like it goes against this kind of like self-improvement, truth chasing type of like energy. But like for you guys, is it easy to say whatever you're thinking when you're thinking it with most people?
Okay, that's a good, there's a divide between people, in my opinion. There was a gentleman that came into the store that I work at today wearing a Barbie shirt.
Okay.
Now, I don't think he's going to have the same type of ideals that I have, but there would be no reason for him to say anything that would be considered offensive, because he is who he is.
Yeah.
But for me, being, I'm not going to sit here and say like I'm like a Republican, but I'm more of like a moderate. So like I have like opinions that are on the left and the right.
Whoa, you guys exist, right?
I feel like most people do exist.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, no, and there's such like a herd mentality of you have to, if you are on the left, you have to believe everything that the narrative online is being pushed out. So if you're on the right, I think it's less so of that, but it's still pretty extreme. Like you have to, it's like tribalism, and people can't help but pick a side. If I'm on, you know, this side, then I have to think the way that everyone does. And if you're on the other side, then I hate you, fuck you, you know, you should die and never be able to vote. And I just don't think that it's a good way to have a country.
So I have a theory about this, and you guys can correct me because you live here. My perception in the beginning was that, yeah, most people are like this. They're tense about what they're saying, and they have to think twice about what to say and all that kind of stuff, right? Which to me is like, it's the most annoying way to have a conversation. Like you got to have some risk. You got to push the boundaries. But at the same time,
I think it's fun.
Yeah. And if you don't really care, then you do that kind of like, oh, yeah, great, great, great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, but my perception now is that I think most people in the States, maybe not most, but like a vast majority of people in the States are like in a big high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the kids that like will go to the teacher and be like, he offended me, or, you know, like he said the wrong word, you know, and then there's like the cool kids that are like, sure, whatever, you know?
Dude, there's a girl that I know, her daughter's friend thinks that she's a cat, and the fucking school gave her a litter box and she goes to the bathroom in it.
This is like one of those things that I have a hard time believing it.
I swear to Jesus and God.
Like, this lady has a litter box. What?
What? Funny.
So, where is the litter box? Like, do people see her go there? Or?
I think they keep it in the woman's bathroom, and she goes to it. Like, I shit. Oh, and you're ready. Okay, what were we talking about?
We're talking about the lady that has a litter box.
Oh, yeah, and then I heard about another girl, and she had cat ears. Like, they let her wear cat ears. And this was at a different school. I think it was in, like, Texas or something. But it's so crazy. Like, at what point do we put her foot down instead of being scared of, like, being canceled?
But,
you know?
But I think that's a way of saying that you don't care if you give those ladies the litter box, right? Imagine if that lady was your sister. If she was your sister, I mean, look, I'm not talking, there's other things, like when it comes to like having a litter box, Like that's the part where you're kind of like, if that was my sister, we'd have a conversation.
Yeah, we'd have a conversation.
Because I love you, right? And some things are like hard to say, right? And
yeah,
you know, like we all, there's no shame in being at a certain stage of your life. There's no shame in wanting to be a cat, right? But mm-hmm. I feel like if you really care about somebody, you have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this school gives this lady a litter box, it's like, we don't give a fuck about you. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to deal with the fucking press and all that. So here's your little box. We're open-minded, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the best thing that you can do for somebody's mental health and longevity in life, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes... Okay, so there's this guy that I work with.
Mm.
And you know what? I actually probably shouldn't get into that. If I talk about it. God damn it. I really want to talk. You know what? I'm just going to tell you and then we can cut it. But so he like went fucking crazy. He talks about like God, like every time I walk into work, I'll hear him like whispering to himself, but he's like praying to himself.
Mm.
And it's like the weirdest. And every time you talk to him, you'll say like, how are you? And he'll say, oh, I'm good with the Lord today, brother. And like everything he says is like related to God, which there's nothing wrong about it. But there's just the way that he goes about it. Like you can tell like there's something like that just like snapped in. I don't know what it is. So I feel like some phases that people go through and you try to tell them, because like there's another guy that I work with and like you try to tell him hey, so-and-so, like it's kind of weird like what you're doing. Like you need to chill. Like you need to not put it on other people.
Yeah.
And they just are not receptive because that's like their phase of their life. And like there's nothing that's going to get them out of it except for learning the hard way, you know?
I feel for dudes, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have hard lives.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, that's the way that they cope with things.
Yeah.
Right? And...
Yeah, that's a good point.
And also, like, I don't know, man. Like, if I was around a guy like that, I would, like, be super patient, take my time, and be like, that could have been you.
Yeah.
Bro, that could have been you, man. Like, if you've had the same life that dude had,
mm-hmm.
right? But sometimes these people seem so alien to us. And I feel like the worst thing that you can do is be like, oh, yeah, whatever, you go.
Yeah.
Like this, imagine going to this lady who says it's a cat and you go like, you go, girl. You know, girl power.
I would never do that.
Right?
I don't think I have it in me to entertain silly things like that because I'm a grown adult and I have a rational mind. I don't think I could play into that game of like, oh, you want me to act like I'm stupid to make you feel better. You know, like, I don't know if that sounds cruel, but it's just the truth, you know?
But that's the best gift you can give to people if you really think about it, right?
Yeah.
If you tell somebody whatever they want to hear, like in a way you're kind of like taking the easy route for you because people hate fucking confrontation, man.
Yeah.
Like if me and you were to have a real conversation at any kind of point in time, like we would get to a point where, you know, you'd be like, I think this and I think this, and one of us would have to handle the truth, right?
Or we can just agree to disagree and move on.
Exactly.
Know?
But like oh, I that's true as well. But like I sometimes just take pride on the fact that I can admit that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I feel that way too. And there's so many people that are like, hey, you're wrong and I'm right. And they can't just accept that, hey, listen, man, like I was wrong. I'm sorry. They can't fucking do it. But I think I take pride as well on the fact that a lot of times I can be like, hey, I fucked up. Because then you don't have to live with that guilt of, oh, I know I was wrong, but I'm still being an asshole.
There will be voice in your head saying,
let it go. Yeah. Let it go. Admit you're wrong. Let it go. Move on. And people respect you more for that as well. They're like, hey, this guy, we both knew that, you know, he was like bullshitting me or, you know, he was lying, whatever was going on. But when you just admit that you fucked up or that you weren't right about something, then the other person is like way more cool with you after that point too. So
and you can shine their light for them, like they can admit that they're wrong too, right? Because they're like, this is not an ego battle. And sometimes like you're in like group settings, and group settings are the hardest for people, I feel like, right? Because if we're in a group and I have to say something that's like let's just take the most stupid example, like you're in the classroom and the professor, I don't know, like says something and you have a question, but you feel like it's kind of stupid, but you really have a question. I'm talking about like the question that I don't know, you don't pay attention at all, but like you have some kind of, and the moment that you ask that question, like you're like, oh, did I just ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
But like other people.
I do that too. I do the same thing. Oh my God.
But other people will be like, that's what I wanted to ask. So they will see you as courageous.
Mm-hmm.
So in the eyes of some people, you're always like, you know, awesome for speaking the truth.
Yeah. I have been the person who was thankful. And I'm sure I've been the person that said something and you know, some guy in the back of the classroom or wherever we were was like, oh, thank fucking God for that guy, you know, because I had no idea what, you know,
yeah,
what was going on.
Exactly.
I'm taking three classes right now. I'm in Roman history.
Oh.
Which is actually kind of cool because I'm actually learning about, like, Italy and, like, the Alps and then the Apennines.
Yep.
Is that how you say it, right? Yep. And then there's a bunch of towns that are, like, around both sides of like, the Apennines, right?
Yep. Like the borders with Switzerland and all that other part. Like, close to the Dolomites, like, there's that range of mountains there. It's beautiful there, man. I was, I visited the Dolomites.
Yeah.
The past year. And just, there's something about mountains, man. Like, they're epic as fuck.
Yeah.
You look at a mountain and you just... like earth and time, you just start thinking about shit like that.
Yeah, there's something about just looking out through like a canyon, or like if you're on top of a mountain range and you just see an open vastness of fucking nature.
Yeah,
it just does something to like your like pineal gland or your brain or something, where it just makes you feel better.
Yeah,
you know, it just makes you feel like everything's gonna be okay. I'm here on this fucking mountain and it's awesome. And okay, so the last time that I was on like a mountain and I got to see like a full landscape was at Red River Gorge. I don't know if you know what that is.
No, but that sounds cool.
It was very cool. So at night, yeah, it's like what like 2 or 3 hours, something like that.
Oh,
at night there's so much light pollution when you go to Red River Gorge. You forget that the night sky, it's a fucking painting.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And I forgot what it looked like. I actually kind of forget now. Like, I want to go back just at nighttime just to see, like the whole Milky Way.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
We have a thing for beauty as a species, man. Like, it captivates us like a moth to a flame. Like, we see something beautiful. Like, and even if it's, like, patterns in nature, right? Yeah. Why the fuck do we find a sunset beautiful?
Yeah.
What's there? Why is that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Why is a flower beautiful?
Yeah.
Right? Like, have you ever thought of that? Like,
it has to be, I mean, if you believe in, like, evolution and all that, it has to be some kind of, like, survival.
See,
sacred geometry, yeah.
this is my theory, man. I feel like if you just go pure logic, you're like, why do we enjoy friendships? Why do we find beauty in things? Why do we like the sunset and stuff like that? Well, so you don't get depressed and die.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way to say it.
Can you imagine if all of this is just like illusions for us, like, keep reproducing and...
Oh, God.
You know, and you're just like another monkey.
Another monkey in the works, yeah. Yeah, it's all like a simulation.
Yeah. But that's been one of the biggest realizations I've had last year. And I don't know if you guys have ever felt this, but I felt like I don't know if this is an ego death. I don't want to say that I've had an ego death. I feel like that's something that you should do ayahuasca and have a podcast if you want to say that.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
29.
You're 29? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm 29 now, and but like last couple of years, I don't know if you know of Sam Harris at all. We were talking.
Oh, that sounds so familiar. Sam Harris, he's an author?
He's an author. He's talked about like free will and stuff like that.
Shit, what book did he write? It was like free.
He also wrote a book on religion, the moral landscape, and the other one was about like death of religion or something like that. But anyways, really smart dude, neuroscientist, and I watched this 1 hour video of him on YouTube talking about free will and why it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I don't know what your opinions are on that. It's a scary topic, man, and I was so resistant to accepting it, and over time, like, after his argument, I was like, okay, maybe there's no free will.
Yeah.
And we can get into that. But after that, I watched a Netflix documentary on chimps.
Yeah. Dude, chimps are fucking crazy. They'll rip your dick off and your eyeballs and everything. Yeah, they'll fucking get in there.
Man, we are so similar.
We are very similar, but like, we're a lot weaker.
Yeah.
And they'll fuck you up.
They will fuck you up, but like, what do? They gather in groups, right?
Yeah.
And they groom each other. It's like they'll eat those things off their, like, I don't know, I'll eat your microbes or whatever they eat, the bacteria.
Bugs.
Exactly. Right. And they do that. And then, like, okay, so now if I start eating those things off of you, we're closer. That's how they say that they're close. Right. Yeah. And it's like what you guys are doing. Like, let's start a podcast. Let's take on the world together.
And then let's take on the world together. Yeah.
And then they manipulate, like they go against the tougher chimp. They group, and that's what humans do, man. And even human relationships and everything like that, like
power.
Yeah, like a power struggle and stuff like that.
Power corrupts absolute, or absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Do you feel like you're, like, when you go about your life, do you feel like you're in moments where you can be an animal? Meaning, like, you do, like, the thing that's, like, I don't know, that brings you the most relief, or you can choose.
Fuck, yeah.
Or you can be an intellectual.
Yeah, but probably not when I'm, like, doing algebra or, like calculus, no. But when I'm, like, at the beach, or if I'm doing something, like, physical, yeah, I kind of feel like a mammal.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It just strips your ego away.
Or actually, when I first held my child, actually.
I didn't know that about you, man.
Yeah, yeah. So when
so awesome.
When I first held my son and I first put him to sleep for the first time, I remember I felt like such like a connection. Like, I felt like an animal. Well, okay, I guess that's like a bad time to say I felt like an
animal.
Like,
it's in your DNA pretty
much.
Yeah,
it just felt very natural. It was such a weird feeling to like feel like a child's like love, like, you know? And it was very, like, eye-opening. So I guess in moments like that, when you have, like, real human connection with someone, I guess you could say that's, like, animalistic, you know? Or it's, like, instinct, you know?
It's really cool to hear you talk about this, because I've heard about people say that once you have a child, right? Mm-hmm. There's this moment of, like, transcendence where you, like, see the child and you just feel it.
It's a very weird, I mean, I knew that it would happen, but you don't really know. I mean, it's not like a crazy, like out of, like, it's not like I did like a line of blow and then did some DMT.
Yeah. You know,
like, I didn't fucking, like, I wasn't high or anything, but it was just like when you hold them and you put them to sleep, and it's like, you can just feel this, like, their warmth and like their, it's almost like you can feel the heartbeat, but it's not the heartbeat, you know? But yeah, because you have a son too, right? So
I'm jealous of you guys.
Yeah,
congrats.
Yeah, I'll be in my car thinking about some situation. I'm like, I'll fucking kill someone right now. I'll freaking come at them.
Yeah. Bro, yeah, that's like, how are you guys handling that? Do you feel like your stress levels have, like, do you guys, can you, like, not worry too much about them? Can you, like, put them in the, how old are they?
So, my son is 6 months old.
Oh, okay.
Your son is 11? Seven. Sorry. I met your son on New Year's, right? Very, very sweet kid, but. For me, like, I guess it's kind of newer for me.
Yeah.
At first, like, I was like freaking the fuck out. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it, dude. Like, this is, and I was a little upset too, because I wanted to be like married to someone before it happened. But as far as like the stress and stuff goes, you do feel stress, and then like over time of you like caring for the child, and like you're like around it, and then everything in your life kind of gets settled, and it just becomes normal. But there is like that initial like factor of like, holy shit, like I have a baby, like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But it does go away. It's kind of like buying a new car. Those are horrible things.
No, I like that. I like that analogy. It's like only fun for the first 6 months.
It's fun for the first 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. No. I'm talking about like the shock factor.
Yeah.
Like when you buy if you make a big purchase, you're like, holy shit, I have a new car. This is awesome. Or in this case, like, holy shit, I'm a father. I'm scared. Like,
that
shock value kind of becomes normal, which is a good thing. You don't want to go the whole, you know, your whole life being freaked out.
Yeah.
It takes a while, and then you come to terms with it, and you're like, I can do this. And it also makes you want to work harder. Huh. It makes you want to do, like, more shit.
So, hey, if you're not doing well in life,
have a baby.
That's what you need.
Have a child. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's beautiful to hear that, man. Like, I like the fact that, you know, I like the fact that it's not as scary, right? Because mm-hmm. people, I feel like people get adjusted to anything, man. I'm reading this book right now on
like masks.
Say that again.
Masks.
Like masks.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, more like people in concentration camps got used to living in concentration camps.
Yeah, like a piece of bread a day.
Yeah, and people who gain extreme wealth, they get bored of it right away.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying that a child is not a crazy intense thing to happen to you, and it requires a lot of attention, and I probably have no clue what I'm talking about. But I do feel like humans get adjusted to things. So like in a couple of weeks, you can go back to like being broke or having the most money that you've ever had, or you get your heart broken, and you kind of
I've been pretty upset about getting my heart broken, though. I feel like, I mean,
yeah, those.
There's been times where there's been months where I was like, fuck, dude, I don't know what. Like, I remember one time this girl broke my heart. I didn't eat for like 3 weeks, dude.
Isn't it crazy that that happens to us, though?
I don't think it would happen to me like that, intensely now. But I think once that happens to you, like when you're younger, like that first breakup, or like the first time, like you lose, like, someone you love,
yeah,
it's a lot harder on you than when you know, at like our age now, like it's a lot different, you know. Yeah you don't have like the scars or like the resilience to heartbreak, but you know, over time it gets better.
I know this is a niche question, like a classic, but if you could go back in time, right, mm-hmm. and you talk to yourself and you just had your heart broken, and you know all the fucking pain that you're gonna go through, and you know how much time you're gonna spend thinking about that girl, and you know how much, I don't know, like you'll want to escape the boredom of everyday life through just reminiscing on the pain that you felt from that relationship, right? That memory will come up no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that I'm assuming that you might have gone through something like that. Knowing that that will happen, right? Mm-hmm. If you went back in time, and sometimes words do not do much.
I know what I would do.
Okay.
I would invest in Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude, 2017, November 17th. Maybe it was Bitcoin went up by like $30,000, and it was fucking crazy.
Yeah,
and I would probably go back to like 2016, because I'm about to be 26. So
yeah,
how old would I be in 2016? That was 8 years ago. So I would be like 17 years old, right?
Somewhere in around that age. Yeah,
I'd be like 17, 18 years old.
Okay.
I would like talk to my mom. I'd be like, Mom, I know you're not gonna fucking believe me, but put all your money in Bitcoin right now. Like, it was like $100 for one, and then like overnight it went up to like $1,100, and then it just kept going up. Like in one night it went up by like $1,000. Yeah. In like 1 week it was like.
Yeah. It's like one of those things that changes everybody's lives, but also ruins lives too, because a lot of people lost a lot of shit ton of money in Bitcoin and
cryptocurrency. I mean, people that invest in Bitcoin, then they take it out, they're taking it from somebody else that also invested in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like gambling. Yeah, but move it around. Yeah.
Like the Yeah, most people don't know shit about that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's you're basically buying data, almost like these. I don't know everything about it, but I know that Bitcoin mining, it's like, I think it's taking like data from like websites almost. I'm not exactly sure. You know what? Let's find that.
Jamie, pull it up.
Matt, can you look up how Bitcoin is mined real quick? But yeah, dude, I don't,
like, something in the blockchain, right? The whole thing about Bitcoin.
But like, what is a blockchain? I don't even know what that is. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought the thing about blockchain, right, was that the way that it works is that there is a finite number, right? Like there's a finite number of Bitcoins.
Like gold.
Yeah. But gold can vary, right? Because I can find a gold deposit somewhere in Asia, right? And all of a sudden the price drops.
Yeah.
But the fact with Bitcoin is like, I don't know, if there's like 21 million, I think, in total. And what they do is like, basically, if you buy this, like the whole idea is scarcity. That's what makes like cryptos, I think, that's what they were trying to sell. Like, it's like, okay, if you get a Bitcoin, this is the only one that you can get for this kind of hash rate, whatever the fuck is the transaction.
Like an NFT. But I think NFTs are so fucking stupid. So many people lost money. Like Eminem lost like a $250,000.
How did he lose it?
Because he bought a fucking gorilla NFT for like $300,000, and then no one else would buy it. Because who the fuck's going to buy a picture of something that's officially yours, but according to who? Like, who dictates who owns what?
Yeah.
You know?
That sucks about Eminem, though. You know, that's my boy. I learned English from him.
No, it's not just Eminem. He is just, I think it's because you're here, and I know that you like Eminem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like the first one that I
know. No, there's a bunch of people that lost money. Yeah, I know.
Let me check this.
You guys do like TikTok reels and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Get like snip tech. Really? That was an hour and a half?
Yeah,
wow. Bro, it was amazing.
We're still amateurs, but it's actually kind of cool that we have, like, when we first started, we were using iPhones. Now we have, like, mics and cameras and shit. So little by little, now we have Matt. And he helps
us, like, look it up. Also, man, this is awesome for me, right? You're good at conversation. I feel super comfortable. Like, you should keep doing it. I also like to do it because I'm like, okay, might start my own. Maybe we'll make it international.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Matt, are we still recording? Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. We're still recording right now.
No,
do you care,
Matt,
if I just finish this up? It'll take like a minute. I just have to end it. I just want to ask you one more question.
Ask whatever, man.
How do you see your lifestyle in other countries that you want to go to? Like, how do you see that like evolving in the future? Like, where do you want to go?
That's a really good question. Well, I'm working on tourism right now in Albania because tourism is booming there. So I'd like to do something for myself, but I'd also like to get into like a podcast. Like, one of the reasons why I'm here is because I find you guys doing this inspirational. I'm like, all right, I want
to
see what
so
you guys.
I'm so glad to hear that, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, and also it was really cool of you last night. You know, like come up and be like, hey, come on a podcast. And it requires skill. So either way, I would love to live in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to have something set up where I feel independent.
Yeah.
And until that's possible, right now, I'll probably I might work in Albania in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had every option that I wanted, I would probably choose Because, like, Italy is super laid back. You have, like, ancient institutions. Like, technology is not super developed. And you see a bunch of people that are trying to escape their mundane reality by living somewhere beautiful. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, let's chill, whatever. And you can meet some great people there, but the culture is almost too laid back, right?
Yeah.
You think of Italy, you think of a girl who is drinking wine and her father owns something and she's cultured. America is like this girl who's like anxious about her performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I would find my kind of people more in the States. Logistically, right now I'm going to go to Albania because I'm starting a travel company with a bunch of buddies of mine.
Oh, yeah. People pay a lot of fucking money for that.
Apparently, I heard that people now are investing more in experiences than things.
Oh, wow.
So I'm guessing people might want to travel more, and Albania is just like booming right now, man.
That's probably the best route you can go then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all the questions I have for you, and I appreciate you coming to talk to me.
A pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you, both of you guys. This is awesome.